That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
It's gonna roll around once more.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning to the remnant. Good morning from the Radio Ranch. Oh, it's a cold, blustery Radio Ranch this morning. But we do say good morning, and we welcome you to Coffee with the Wranglers. We're coming to you live this February 13th, 2021, and we've got a full crew on this morning. Good morning, Tim, from frigid Nebraska.
Good morning.
And the guys down in Colorado, it's just as frigid down there. Good morning, John.
Yeah. Good morning.
And Jason, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And again, we say good morning to the remnant. Welcome. We'll have the phone lines open. If you're familiar with it, that's the program. It's called Coffee with the Wranglers. We're the Wranglers. We've got our coffee. I had to go back and get a second cup this morning to make sure we didn't run out here. We've got our Bibles open and the phone lines open. And, you know, where we go from there, it's just the leading of the Holy Spirit. We'll have to wait and see. But, John, we'd ask if you would start us out and open us up in prayer.
Sure. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this time that you set aside for your people to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Lord, we ask that you would guide and direct us this morning, give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment with regards to the things that are going on in the world and how they tie into your word and to prophecy. Your word says we're to be thankful for all things, so we thank you for all of our blessings, but we also thank you for the trials and the tribulations and the testing that we're going through right now. Father, your word says that you use those things to refine us into the men and women that you want us to be, to serve in your kingdom, so we receive them with thanksgiving. Father, we ask that you hear our appeal to heaven to save America again. Father, we ask that you would help us to remain faithful, Lord. Send your helper, the Holy Spirit, to strengthen our faith with regards to the things that are going on. Lord, we pray for grace and mercy in your wrath, and that you would find us, your people, worthy to escape the things that are coming. It's not a time for us to let down our guard and give up in defeat, but it's a time for us to stand firm, to hold the line, and to continue to pray even more than before, to pray that the things that were done in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops, to pray that you would continue to send confusion into the camp of the enemy, and that they would turn upon one another and devour one another, and we see that almost on a daily basis. Father, I pray that they would fall into the pits that they dig and be ensnared by the traps that they lay. And Lord, we just pray for righteous judgment to once again be in the land. The enemy thinks that they have this thing won. They think that they've covered all of their bases, and they're even to the point where they're not only warring against your people, Lord, they're warring against you, and they're not hiding it anymore. These are the children of the devil, these demon rats. But we also know that your word says, as long as there are at least 7,000 that will not bow their knee to Baal and will not kiss him, that you will continue to fight for us, and greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us, and that no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. So, Lord, we just pray for wisdom, understanding, and discernment with regards to the things that are going on. Father, we plead the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over ourselves and our wives and our children and all that you've blessed us with. Father, put a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around us and keep us safe. We pray these things in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Well, Remnant, it is exciting times. When you talk to people, I know when I've talked to neighbors and few people around that I've seen, it that's what you get. Boy, it's exciting times. I would encourage you today, Remnant, to read 1 Peter. You know, there's different times in our lives, different times in whether it's things that are happening to us or things that we see in other people or in other, whether it's members of the congregation or neighbors or just people on the national scene with, you know, the election and just the desiring of the destruction of America that we see coming from the devil's city. There's different times in our lives that different scriptures seem to apply. We certainly pray Psalms 91. Should pray it daily. Jonathan, you've reminded the people to do that. We have sent all of our Psalms 91 bookmarkers out, and we've reprinted them about 3 times. So we're going to print some more. Because the people are asking for them and passing them out. And that is a time to be reminded of the protection that's offered for the believer, for he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Because not everybody dwells there. Most can, but not everybody does. And there's times that, you know, we see that like Psalms 83, when everybody had conspired to wipe out Israel, and David prayed that instead they would be wiped out. We see those times again where they all conspire to wipe out Christian America. We see it from not only within this nation but elsewhere. And you know, there's times that Romans 8:28 is just seems to be the scripture that comes to mind that we kind of fall back on. That's our foundation for, you know, because of times and things that are going on. And I just encourage you, Remnant, read all of 1 Peter. It's only 5 very short chapters, a couple of pages in your book. Read 1 Peter. I think it is
a great synopsis. I think it has encouragement there. Especially 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing. Don't be surprised as though it were some strange thing happening to you. But then it says, keep on rejoicing. And so, Remnant, I think that's the attitude that we have to have, that these things, whether it's these fiery ordeals come upon us in our personal life, you know, those 11 or 60,000 jobs that were signed away with the stroke of a pen, that's a fiery ordeal on a family. It really is. But they come upon the believer, the true follower of Jesus Christ, for our testing. And, you know, chapter 5 says, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world, and after you've suffered for a little while, God himself will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And so that is what is happening when these fiery ordeals are coming upon his people all across this nation. They and we are being perfected and confirmed and strengthened and established. And so we should smile at the future. What does it bring? Don't know, but he knows. And his perfect plan is there. It's hard sometimes to stay positive with the mess, the lying, that's in the world, hearing and seeing the filth, and hearing the lies that have come out just like this last week in the media with the trial and so forth. But he is working his work behind the scenes, and he has everything in order the way our God and Heavenly Father wants it.
Amen. I don't know if you guys saw, but the enemy is literally planning to war against God. There's nothing new under the sun, and Amazon announced a plan to build a new Tower of Babel opposite of the Capitol.
Wow.
It says that Amazon plans to build a 350-foot-tall building modeled on a helix in Arlington, Virginia, as a centerpiece of its second headquarters. And the building, if you look at the design, is going to be, like they said, a helix, you know, spirals up. And looks, the model rendition looks exactly as what the Tower of Babel is depicted to us in pictures in biblical history. It says construction of their secret corporate headquarters is expected to begin next year, and when completed in 2025 will cost $2.5 billion and include 2.8 million square feet of office space distributed across three 22-story buildings. The location is less than 4 miles from the Capitol building. And anyways, I think it's interesting that they've become so bold and brazen that they don't even try to hide the fact that they're warring against not only God's people, but God himself. And the good news is we know how that ends.
Amen.
Yes, amen. That
was the first one I was looking at this morning, too, John. That's that's really interesting. But one of the other things I thought was significant on it was the fact that they're going to plant trees and all this kind of stuff up that helix, and then they're only going to be allowed to visit certain days, certain weekends. It's the only time you'll be able to walk the tower. But they are going to have around the base of it there in the plaza, around the base, they're going to have a farmer's market that runs most of the time. And I was just thinking about that.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
Outdoor amphitheater an area for people to come, like you said, in special occasions, you know. Probably on Sundays it'd be the special occasion.
Yep. interesting stuff, you know, that it says one of the things that was interesting about the Tower of Babel that was written by the Jewish Roman historian Flavius Josephus in his Antiquities of the Jews was that he recounted the history of it, you know, as found in the Bible, and mentioned the Tower of Babel in his writings, and he wrote that it was Nimrod that built the tower, and that right. Nimrod was a tyrant who tried to turn the people away from God. So that's a you know, there's a, and we also know that's where the language was confused, and I think that there's a significance in that. Myself today, even I read a little clip on Facebook from somebody who sent it in. It said something about, he said, Christians and the people of our country are under severe psychological warfare, but most don't even know they are on a battlefield. And I was thinking about the languages being confused, and we're not just under psychological warfare, although we are. It is a, you know, it's heavenly warfare. Like you said, they seek to war against the God of heaven, you know, and shake their fist at him and bring down his creation. And this warfare is Ephesians 6:11, you know, put on the full armor of God, because that you can stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, you know, it's a lot more than just psychological warfare. I mean, it's it's full body, full creation warfare. They want to bring it all down. So, and I thought it was interesting. If there's no food, why the worshipers will sure come to the farmer's market, huh? I was thinking about Jason talking about agriculture and the rebirth of it and the strength of it and how that ties into this. Well, farmer's market. Where's the food come from for the farmer's market? Anyways, I just...
And then you think of what Bill Gates just did, basically shifted his entire fortune to purchasing farmland across the country. It sure does appear that that's what part of their plan is, for sure, to use food as a weapon. I mean, we've talked about it many a time, that majority of people won't give up their firearms and ammunition unless it's to feed their family. And the thing we need to get through our head is that you can't give them up under any circumstance, period. You know, we're kind of facing the time, instead of the Japanese emperor stating that they've woke the sleeping giant and that they can't invade America because there's an American with a gun behind every blade of grass. I mean, now we need to be proclaiming that to the puppet masters that are, you know, basically pulling the strings for the demon rats in positions of authority. But like I said, I still have the faith that now is not the time that God is going to abandon us and give us our best. I believe that there's still a revival that's coming, and I believe that the Lord is going to weed out the churches of Laodicea and the lukewarm Christians, and those who have faith, who remain supporting the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through whatever comes. Those are the ones that will walk in the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and those are the ones that will heal the diseases that man can no longer heal, which we're right there if you look at what's going on in the world today.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And, you know, another great chapter to read in the Bible along those very lines is Isaiah 10. That God explains it all right there, and he finishes up that a remnant will return. A remnant
will return. And he says in verse 24, "Oh, my people who dwell in Zion." And we understand, I think most people understand, this is the new Zion, this nation, this heavenly kingdom, this new Jerusalem, that is will jump out of the Bible if you care to look, if you care to read in Micah about this new Jerusalem. But he says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not fear the Assyrian who strikes you. For in a very little while, my indignation against you will be spent, and my anger will be directed to their destruction." And that day fast approaches. There are people that are returning to God. I think it's getting real close to that Gideon 300. That, and not that as a number, but as a concept. And John, like you preached from church, that there were still 7,000, and there are still 7,000 today. And I think in God's number, that's enough. That's enough for His indignation against us to have run its course. And it says that He will arouse a scourge, is what it says there, a scourge against Him, like the slaughter of Midian at the Rock of Horeb. And He will lift His staff up, it will be over the sea, and He will lift it up the way He did in Egypt. And so, you know, those stories are there for us to know, and for the people out there to see that's how God works. That's how God works. He waits till, you might say, it's double overtime. He waits till it's 11:59:59 so that He gets the glory. And I think that clock is ticking right to that number. Rebuilding of the Tower of Babel, you know, it is. It's absolute, flipping off God, and He won't put up with it for long.
Yeah, you know, what's encouraging though is if you watched any of the impeachment proceedings this week. I just caught the video clips. I can't bear to spend that kind of time wasting just watching the proceedings. But bottom line is, God is hearing and answering our prayers, and the things that were done in the dark are being brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. And the things that they accuse us of are the things that they actually have done, and those things are being brought. You know, so this is national coverage, national news, and their plans are backfiring on them for sure. I don't know if you saw this week, but it's pretty significant that Andrew Cuomo, they're throwing him under the bus, basically, for the murder of the elderly in the nursing homes in New York City. And, you know, that's not the only place that it took place. It's taken place all across the country. Jason probably could give a better definition of that, but it's not in the mainstream media. But bottom line is, you know, their goal is first to inoculate all the 70-year-old and older people. I wonder why. Well, they say that they're more susceptible. No, they're what they classify as the worthless eaters. They've already contributed to society, and now all they do is take, and that they're no longer welcome in society. And the next phase is 65 and older, and then on down the line. But a lot of those people who are getting those vaccines are dying. And, of course, it's from other causes. It couldn't be the vaccine. And, you know, there's also some things that I've read that the real negative effects are won't hit you till, you know, a year or two later or whatever it is. But the fact is, this vaccine, you know, you're crazy if you take it under any circumstances. Even if you lose your job, then guess what? God will open the door to something else. But and that's coming, by the way. It's already in the works with regards to anything to do with a government or state position. And I think God's just testing our faith, you know. It's all about faith. That's, in my opinion, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We have to have the faith with regards to the situation we're in the same amount as the faith that we have in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that if we remain faithful, we will receive eternal life. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, we're seeing things like that happening, and people are losing their jobs left and right for standing up for what they believe in. And it's it's been a big eye opener for a lot of people. You know, the Mandalorian star Gina Carano, she just got fired, and when she came out and said before she got fired, she says as being a Republican right now is like being Jewish during the Holocaust. And she came out, and she's a conservative, she's a Republican, and she's an anti-masker, and she's against the vaccination. And that was enough to get her fired. And that's basically that all she said. She said, you know, be careful when it comes down to getting the vaccinations. Do your research. You know, well, they couldn't have that.
No.
They're showing their colors, but it's been an eye opener for a lot of people. So, and there's a lot of people that are backing people that like this and getting on board and supporting them. So, you know, it's exciting to see people waking up and standing up for what they believe in too, and not drinking the Kool-Aid. There was another just recently, Michigan Ammo Company. They came out. And they put up a deal on their website. They're an online ammo distributor, and they put on their website, and they make you confirm that you didn't vote for Biden. If you voted for Biden, there's a no-tolerance policy, and they will not sell to you. And, that's caused a whole lot of outlash, too. But it's like, you know, it's like, hey, you guys have voted for this. This is what you wanted. You know, Biden, said that he was going to shut down all online ammo sales. That will put me out of business. So therefore, if you voted for the SOB, you do not get it. You can't do business with us. And people are making a stand. So I see lines being drawn in the sand, and that's exciting. That's encouraging. And we know who's in control. And things are coming to light. They're being brought to light. You know, as far as the farming and agriculture side of things, there's so many things that are coming to light there. You know, Bill Gates, it's like, we've been talking about farming and agriculture being a weapon of warfare for almost a year now. And then you see stuff like this happening. It's, God's in control, and he's getting people's, hearts and minds in the right spot. So it's, you got to be encouraged by it.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Well, amen. I think it reminded me while you were talking of Acts 3, 20 and 21, where the Bible said, he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And these sons of hell that are out there running around, stirring this wickedness into the mix. God's going to restitute to his people all that.
Yes.
And it's coming.
Yes. So
it's not. It's all they're doing is heaping it up on their heads. I mean, you're going to get it all back and more besides. So it's one of, they're not going to win. There's a whole bunch of, when we look around that, I don't be discouraged. It's easy to get kind of down and out about it. But the truth of the matter is like the Bible says, these things must come to pass. And that doesn't change the outcome at all. As a matter of fact, all it's doing is your rewards, your restitution is just going up, 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 up. So those things are, God keeps score. I remember a pastor talking about that years ago. He's a great, he has... And the book will be open. Those accounting books are there, and they're kept perfectly. He's not going to forget it. So he remembers.
Amen. Well, and then you see stuff like school districts closing due to side effects of COVID vaccinations. You know, stuff like that is popping up, and people are starting to see that kind of stuff, and it sure makes you wonder.
Yes, it does. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are having a lot of problems, and they are doing their best to keep that out of the news, but it just keeps on leaking through. You know, it's interesting to me that none of us could hardly find anybody who'd actually been sick with COVID, but I actually know some people who've had the vaccine who've been really sick from that after they got the vaccine.
Tim, you mentioned that. I've had people here say, yeah, I took the first shot, and I was wiped out for 3 days. I slept for 3 days. And this is a healthy mid-40s man. And then he said, yeah, a week later, when I took the second one, I was just down for a day. And he was looking at that as a positive, that was good. Just befuddled me. I mean, it just... But yeah, the people that are having adverse reactions are greater. Got a text from our brother Bruce. He said they want to give the vaccine to the homeless too. Bruce is up in down in Denver, and he's not homeless, praise God. But Bruce, you're absolutely right. They do. Those that they deem worthless. John?
The vaccine, yeah. The vaccine is not even a vaccine by. You know, by the definition of the vaccine, because it really does nothing to hinder you from getting the COVID virus, which is really nothing more than glorified flu. But anyways, they've already proven that a lot of people who have the vaccine have still got COVID, and people who've had COVID once can get it again. You know, the reality is you're going to start to see, in fact, we already are, I think a 40% reduction in the number of people who are testing positive, because they changed during the inauguration of O'Biden. That's what I'm calling him, O'Biden, because it is Obama, I believe, that's down in the basement. They switched places now. Biden is up in the White House, Obama is down in the basement, pulling the strings and running the show. But anyways, those people that have taken the vaccine, you know, they get COVID, and what they've done is they've changed the number of cycles that they tested with. I don't know exactly how that works, but bottom line is, even by the CDC's original director, the testing criteria and stuff, they exceeded that by 40 or 50%, which led to 85 to 90% false positive tests. And now that they've lowered that cycle back down to the recommended cycle, I mean, that's significant if you think about it. And you don't hear it on the mainstream news, and most people don't even know what the heck you're talking about. But that's the reality of it. The other thing I want to say, if you haven't got any LDM, DAM medicine, you need to get some, because if you are required, some places are requiring you just to do a spit test, and I know of some people who squirt a little bit of that LDM in their mouth before they get that spit test, and I guarantee you it ain't going to come back positive for that.
Amen to that. Amen to that. You know, it's amazing how God provides. And that, you know, that stuff's been around, and you're right, John, that's what we always called it, a lot of damn medicine. And, you know, about once a year, we'd have to go talk to Jason or his dad, Doc Junker, and say, hey, you got some more of that. And it's available. Jason's done a great job having that up, and we've sent a lot out. We have sent a lot out and, continue to do
so. I keep a bottle of it in my cup holder in my console in my pickup, and you know, when I'm driving down the road, I'll just open that bottle and take a little squirt and squirt it in your mouth. You know, it ain't the best tasting stuff in the world, but I'll tell you what, I'm not testing positive, and I'm not having any issues with COVID or flu or anything else.
Amen.
I know that's God's grace.
Amen.
And mercy and compassion, but he also gives us things to use. And you know, that LDM is all natural. It's basically, Jason can explain it better, but it's basically a natural antibiotic, isn't it, Jason?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's an antibacterial, antiviral. It comes from a root that grows native in the majority of the United States, and there's certain techniques that go into harvesting and extracting it, but it it's not what knocked out different flu pandemics that have happened in the United States for over the last several centuries. It's just phenomenal. Talking with people, I've talked to people that all the time that have got on it that, you know, had severe immune deficiencies and disorders and were generally went on antibiotics every year, you know, for several weeks due to one illness or another. And they get on the LVM and even a couple of drops a day, they're on a year or 2 years without ever having to go on any antibiotics. And it's just basically changed their life. So it's a really awesome product.
Yeah.
Amen.
And folks,
yeah, like I said, if you don't have it, get
that's
it.
That's right. We've got it. And we've got a nice color brochure we send out that explains it. We had we've had a couple articles in the newsletters over the last couple years that do the same thing, that kind of introduce it and explain it, because it's not something that your pediatrician is going to recommend. It's not something your doctor is going to recommend, but it's there. Well, guys, let's try the phone lines this morning. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Richard. Good morning, all you guys. This is Ken in Wisconsin.
Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. I've got a couple things I'd like to toss into the conversation here. Number one, he was talking about Bill Gates and his farmland deal. He owns, to the last of right now, is 240,000 acres of farmland. Now, I got a question here for Timmy, especially. How many farmable acres are there in Nebraska? Have you got any idea, Tim?
Not right off the top of my head, a lot, but yeah.
I believe it's in the millions, okay?
Yeah.
And Bill, in other words, what I'm getting at is Bill Gates and his 240,000 acres is nothing but a drip in a bucket compared to the farmland that's available in the United States. And even if Jeff Bezos jumps in and buys another 500,000 acres, it isn't going to be squat. There's just that many farmland acres in America. There's enough to go around, and there are so many ways to beat these guys that their own game is pathetic. And one other thing I wanted to mention, Mike Lindell. Joanne in Wisconsin and Ken in Wisconsin both decided that we were going to buy some pillows from Mike Lindell. We've never had them, and we've heard nothing but positive things about them. So instead of giving Walmart the money and their share of Mike Lindell's profit, I called Mike Lindell's company yesterday afternoon and ordered them. Same price as Walmart, doesn't make any difference except for one thing. Mike Lindell's salesman told me there's a 3 to 4 week wait time. Well, I says, that's kind of understandable right now. And that goes to show you, his business, he ain't going out of business.
Yeah, Ken, no, we did the same thing. And we ordered pillows, and then I was telling a couple people about it, the story about the whole deal, and they called me and said, what's that guy's number? We need to call and order some pillows. We're going to support him, too. So, yeah, we're on the same boat there.
Okay, I've said my piece, and I'll let you guys carry on, and I'm going to get back to the radio and listen. Thank you, and God bless you all for your hard work and your program and everything else connected to it.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Ken.
God bless.
Yeah, thank you,
God
Ken.
Bless.
Well, and it's a really good thought too, as far as the farm ground angle goes, because I don't know too many farmers who are anxious to sell. You know, I mean, most of those guys, you've got to give them. You've got to give them the credit. I was talking to a neighbor here the other day, and he said, well, I chose this non-paying profession. you know, in the middle of the cold, in the middle of the calving, with all the problems that he's having, he's like hanging on, you know. It's like, no, I'm not giving up. This is what I do. And
yeah, the problem, Tim, is these diabolical bastards, and that's what they are. One of the first things in an executive order that O'Biden did was he increased the capital gains tax from 22%, which President Trump had lowered it to, from, I believe, 29, right, to 44. So that's a long-term plan to cause family, yes, farms to be sold off to the large corporations, because what happens is when the patriarch of that household dies, who's had that in their family for hundreds of years or whatever it is, then the family that inherits that farm all of a sudden is faced with 44% capital gains tax on the value of that, and they don't have that. So what do? They sell it off to the large corporation. So one thing that's really important, and I think, you know, in the physical realm, is I've learned a lot more about trust. Trust can be, they're as strong as whoever created them, is really what the going knowledge is with regards to a trust. But in the event that you get over 65 and you do end up using Medicare or whatever, they basically, if you want the government to take care of you, then they're going to take everything that you have. And, you know, for some people, that's a big deal. For me, I kind of take the stand that Pastor Peters took. God can either heal me or take me, but I'm not going to let him make a fortune off of everything that I worked for my whole life, try to save my life. I mean, it's up to God whether I live or die, as far as I'm concerned. And anyways, there are ways. If you set up a trust, I believe they changed it. It used to be 2 years, but now it's 5 years before, you know, you incur some sort of catastrophic medical expenses or whatever. You know, and I realize this doesn't affect most of our people, but it's still good to know. And you put your assets in a trust, and it's a trust that's, you know, designed by someone who understands the trust, and you have to keep your minutes and keep them up to date and all that. But bottom line is that whoever the trustees are the owners of that those assets, and in the event that you decided to go with the government care, those assets are protected. So with regards to the farms specifically, I think it's pretty important to look at doing something like that. Even just the event of early death or something like that, accident of a patriarch that owns something, you know, significant assets. I think it's important that we, while in this physical realm, we learn to defeat them at their own game.
That's a fact. God always makes a way for things to go, for things to continue. I mean, there's always, the tighter they squeeze, the more people will slip through their fingers, because God makes a way for his people to escape.
That's right. The stock exchange learned about that a couple weeks ago, didn't they? And some of those traders. And you can take that trader word either way. You can spell it either way, because I think that's what they are. But they learned that their way is not foolproof. It's not.
It's, yeah, but then they try to change the laws or go after the people who dare to figure out how to.
That's right. But that's exactly what they do. It is that, again, I can't help but go back to the word. And it's at Matthew 23 when Jesus exposed the Phariseeism. And that's what we're seeing. That's what I was talking with my son George last night about this. And, you know, and that's what we see. This actress that was on Mandalorian, they said that last year the Mandalorian was the number one show in the nation. We don't have cable TV. I guess you don't even have to have cable TV anymore. They stream it to your phone and to the cable, whatever, your TV and all that mess. But that was the big deal, according to the media and all that. Oh, the Mandalorian was the big, more people were tuning in and blah, blah, blah. And so for that actress,
you know, the beefcake actress to be fired. Why? Well, that's opened up, like you said before, many people's eyes. Well, why was she fired? Well, because of thought crimes, because she thinks different, and she's being punished for thinking differently. And, you know, our pastor taught on that 35 years ago, on thought crimes, and that that day was coming, and here we are. And but we do rejoice, because those, you know, it probably was the number one show and had more people watching it last year, and they're still paying attention. Anything about Mandalorian, oh, they want to see the next season. They want to know about it. What are the actors doing? What are the actresses doing? When's it coming back out? So when this actress gets fired, yes, that has, once again, not been the, I don't think, the intention of the enemy, but it helps open people's eyes to what's going on. And this Phariseeism is just, that's what it is. You know, he said, you tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but you yourselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. And that's what we see. We see discrimination, because that's what this firing is. We see that from the enemies of God, the Antichrist, those that deny Jesus is the Christ. This Phariseeism, they say, well, that's for you to do, but not me. You have to do that, or I can do it, but you can't. We see that with the stock market mess. We see it with the White House now. We see it with Disney and Soros and all around. And thankfully, more and more people are seeing it as well.
Yeah, you know, you see this Biden cranking out executive orders. I think he's over 50 now already in, what, 3 weeks? And you know that none of those executive orders were started after he supposedly took the presidency. Those have been in place for quite some time. Essentially, whether you believe it or not, what they've done is the plans that they had for Hillary, because they had believed that they cheated enough in that election to win, and it was a similar situation in this one, that even the rigged Dominion voting machines weren't enough to overcome the windfall of voters for President Trump, that they had to resort to the fake ballots by the hundreds of thousands, if not millions. And anyways, I think what's encouraging to me is that there's governors all across the country in different states, unfortunately not in our state, but that are passing laws to supersede executive orders to nullify them. Just here recently, Missouri passed a law that said that they would use their National Guard to apprehend federal authorities that try to impede on any of the Missourians' Second Amendment rights. I think that's significant. And we talked about this before, but one of the most important offices in your city, your country, you know, in your state is the sheriff. Your local sheriff has more authority than your governor. And we need to make sure that the governors that are in place, I don't think the enemy has figured out the fact that the governor is such, the sheriff is such a significant piece of the puzzle with regards to the, and this is all physical realm, remember, we're not talking spiritual realm, but I think it's encouraging. In fact, we have two really good sheriffs here in the counties that are close to us, and that may be even more important than the governor when you know, when everything goes down. So
that's,
but
right.
I think it's we need to prepare. We need to prepare as well. You know, you need to make up your mind that you're not giving up your guns. You give them the bullets one at a time or burst of three, but you're not going to give them your guns.
Amen. And you know, John, that sheriff department you talk about, it really is like that all over the nation. You know, even in California, I know sometimes we get accused of lumping all of California into the Californication window or group. And it's not that way. It's never intended that way. Because, you know, it's not all of California. It's not all of Colorado. Wyoming is that way. You know, Wyoming was, 80% for Trump, but our county was like 300 votes heavy for Biden. I mean, it's just, it depends on where you're at, whether you're in the city or out in the country, as far as, you know, what the prevailing thoughts and spirit is. But it's like that in California as well. We've read of counties, especially Northern California, that, yeah, the sheriff has said, I'm not enforcing these shutdown rules, these mask rules, and these red flag laws. Those things they're still being pushed. We talked about those quite a bit last year. But there's some counties all over, whether it's in Florida, whether it's in upstate New York, California, wherever, that there are still those that are just saying no, we're not, and that is encouraging. It is.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw, but basically they did a audit on the CDC, and they found that the COVID numbers of deaths that they reported were exaggerated by at least 1,600%. And we've talked about that before as well. And if you died in an auto accident and they gave you a COVID test doing the 85% to 90% false positive test, then you died of COVID, no matter what it was. And the reality is, I think it's less than 1%, 0.06% or something like that of people who actually died of COVID, and those had some sort of underlying condition in most cases. Now, I guess there is a case or two where someone that was younger and maybe didn't seem to have any kind of pre-existing health condition passed away from what they would call COVID. But, you know, the reality is that we cured the flu, which, you know, they said couldn't be done, and heart disease and all of these other things that used to be the top killers of people on a yearly basis. And the fact that when they did the study of 2020, that there was less death per capita overall than 19 and, you know, some of the previous years, tells the story.
Amen. Amen. That it's a hoax. It's a hoax.
Well, it was designed for one purpose, to remove President Donald J. Trump from office. And as of now, then, you know, it's accomplished its purpose. But like I said, I still have other thoughts regarding that. I still believe that
absolutely
God will use him to deliver his people one more time. It'll only be a short period of time. And then it's up to us to clean this country up, to form a national repentance is what needs to happen.
Amen. Amen. I can't help, you know, but think, again, you look back at the story of Joseph. God came to Joseph and told him in a dream that the sun and the moon and the stars would bow down to him. And, of course, that was representative of his family. And when he shared that with his family, they almost killed him. They sold him into slavery. And the trials and troubles that Joseph had to go through. But we never read of him losing his faith or losing his trust. And 20-some-odd years later, guess what happened? The sun and the moon and the stars were bowing down to Joseph, because God's word is true. And, you know, I don't think any of them were thinking about that until it happened again. But I think then they remembered, oh, this is what God said. This is what God said.
Yeah.
And it came to pass. Sorry. Done.
You might want to share how to get to the message. I don't know if we're still having internet problems. I know we've been censored. You might want to share what people need to do.
Yeah, just basically go to SFAW. There's going to be a link at the top of the page, and it redirects you to our site, to a new player that we're using right now. temporarily. And so just go to sfaw.org, scriptures4america.org. Right there, top of the page, there'll be a link. It'll be up there about an hour before we go online, and you can click that, and you can get to the live messages in the morning. So, you know, be sure and tune in for that. And it's one of those things, it's better if you're logged on about 5 minutes earlier, because it does take some time. Internet across the United States has just been really slow, so there's a buffer time on that. So if you can get on there about 5 minutes before the top of the hour, we will, you know, that'll improve your video quality, so try to do that. But, yeah, scriptures4america.org, sfaw.org, that'll take you there. Click the link, and you should be up and running good.
Amen. So, folks, we do. Amen. You can still join us at church. That'll be starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 a.m. Central, 10:30 Eastern, and that's 7:30 for you out on the West Coast. And like Jason said, sfaw.org, scriptures4america.org. Be a little early. Get a good seat. You don't want to have to sit way in the back, and some people don't like to sit on the front row, so get in early so you can get a good seat. Well, men, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us this morning. Remnant, we thank you for tuning in, and that's all the time we've got. Remember, our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And our email is preacher@sfaw.org. Again, preacher@sfaw.org. And we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them hell send forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.